Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, January 16th, and today is a very special day in the studio here for Faith and Family. I think this is a first for this show. We really have a family. We have a baby in studio, so you might hear some fun sounds. Today, we are continuing our conversation on the fifth commandment, you shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. And what better way to do that than through foster care? So we're going to talk with some foster families and our friends from Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri here in just a little bit. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, you can go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section, click on the CUW logo, and that'll take you to their page. Go check it out, kfuo.org, and look for that sponsor section. Well, joining us in studio today, we've got a full studio today. Joining us in studio today, Bev Schaefer from Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. Good morning, Bev.
Good morning.
So good to have you here. What is your role at LFCS?
My title is I'm the foster care coordinator, which means that I'm the case manager for all the babies and children that come into our care. And I'm also responsible for doing all the foster home licensing for the state of Missouri.
That's a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, but you get to see a lot of adorable babies, and I wish everybody could see how cute our baby boy is here in the studio today, and he's so quiet right now. So you have a lot of responsibility on your shoulders of coordinating to provide for the needs of all these families and children who need foster care. That's a lot.
It keeps me busy, that's for sure.
And also joining us in studio, just to your right, we have Linda here. Good morning, Linda. Good to have you. Now, Linda, tell us how many foster children you've served, you've provided for?
Yes, I've had 59 babies.
Oh my goodness.
In about 17 years.
Wow. Wow. And a little bit more about your family. You have a new addition within the last couple of years to your family as well, correct?
Correct. We adopted one of our foster babies, and she's just turned 4. So she's a new addition to our family.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for coming in and spending some time with us to share your story today. We also have Suzanne in studio today and Holden, baby boy, here today. Suzanne, tell us how many foster children have you served in your family?
Well, since we started, 136 newborns have gone through my house. So some just stay for a day, but some will there. The longest was like 7 months.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow. And your family, who makes up your family?
My family, my husband and I have been married. We'll be in March, 37 years.
Wow.
And I have 3 children. 2 daughters and a son, and 2 granddaughters, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old.
And 130 plus foster children.
They pass through.
Well, and Suzanne is starting her 25th year of doing foster care. In February, it'll be 25 years for Suzanne.
Oh, wow. That's a milestone.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's huge. And we also have Lori in studio. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Tell us about your foster. How many children have you served as foster parents to?
Since 2007, my husband Bob and I have had 15 babies in the house. And like Suzanne, some of them have been just for a weekend or so. And the longest we've had is a little girl who left us just this past December 20th. She was with us for 12 weeks.
Goodness.
And was a wonderful Christmas present to her new family.
I'm sure. So as foster families, you see, you know, we've got everything from 15 to 130 and 59, just a lot of children that have been blessed and served by you and the care that you've provided. I want to hear your stories today about why you chose to become foster parents. I want to hear what led up to you even thinking about, was it Bev twisting your arm? what led up to you thinking about even considering becoming foster parents? So let's start over here with Linda. Of course.
Well, I had 2 biological children at that point of my own, and I wanted more children, and my husband didn't. So I said, okay, then I will foster newborns, so I can still have those babies. And I sort of, I mean, it was sort of kind of a selfish reason. It wasn't It was because I just wanted to hold the babies and love them. And it just kept going and going and going and just love it.
And so you've got to hold a lot of babies.
A lot of babies.
You've probably had a lot of sleepless nights too, I bet.
A lot of sleepless nights. I don't need a whole lot of sleep. So that's good.
So it started with just wanting to hold more babies.
And
you certainly got to do that. Suzanne? Yeah. What?
My son was about to start kindergarten, and I was a stay-at-home mom. And I just thought to myself, what could I do so I could still be home when my son came home from school? And it just, they ran a ad in our church bulletin looking for parents for foster parents for newborns. And I thought, hey, I can do that. I've done it 3 times and they're all still around. So
sure.
maybe I could do this. And I did run into another foster mom from Lutheran at a baby shower of my cousin's wife. And I walked over and talked to her, and I said, oh, I was thinking about that. She said, call them. They really need people. And I did, and that started the whole thing.
One phone call. And
yeah. But I do like to think of it, too, as it's my way of helping those who decide to carry their babies full mm-hmm. term. It's just like, if I can help them with that big decision, I'm doing something.
And that's an important decision, very much so, to carry that baby to term and choose life for that baby. Mm-hmm. What a way to support those families and to support that baby.
Yeah.
Lori, what's your story? What got you to even start thinking about foster care?
Well, my husband and I had been married for a few years, and we were not able to have a family of our own. And we were very confused and doing a lot of praying. And one day, as I was praying, the thought of foster parenting or adoption came into my head. And I talked to my husband, and that was on a Saturday. And on Sunday, we started making some phone calls. And we were with one agency for a little while that it just wasn't a good fit for us.
Mm-hmm.
And another agency that I called gave me the number for Lutheran Family Services, and I sent in an application on a Thursday. And on Tuesday morning, Bev called and asked when she could come to our house and meet us. And I think when Bev retires, I'm going to retire. She makes our job a lot easier.
I second that.
Yes. There it is.
Now, Bev, how did you get involved? What led up to your career in caring, you know, in this foster program with Lutheran Family and Children's Services?
Well, we were very fortunate that we were able to adopt 2 children, and our children are now 32 and 36. But after we adopted our children, we felt so grateful to the foster families that had cared for them mm-hmm. until they came to our home that we thought, you know, this is something that we can do. So we became foster parents ourselves and were foster parents for 10 years and had 56 babies in foster care. And just about the time that I was thinking about going back to teaching, because I was a first grade teacher, I was thinking about going back to teaching, and all of a sudden I get a call from Lutheran Family and Children's Services, and they said, you know, we're going to need a foster care coordinator. And I said, well, my degree is not in social work. My degree is in my master's degree is in education. And they said, well, you know the foster parents, you've been a foster mm-hmm. parent, so come on down and interview. And that's how it all happened. And now it's been 21 years at Lutheran.
Wow. Wow. So almost as long as Suzanne's been serving as foster parents.
That's right. And Suzanne and I lived very close together. So when we had foster children, there was many a time when I was doing part-time work for Lutheran at the time that I would drop my foster baby off at Suzanne's house.
So. Yeah. We were the only 2 city foster parents licensed in this city.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What are the needs? I mean, how number wise, what are we looking at? I know it fluctuates from time to time, but what are the needs, especially at LFCS? How many families do you need from time to time?
Well, right now we have 20 licensed foster homes, but I can always use more. There are many people who are willing to take babies, but we find at Lutheran now that we're doing a whole lot of crisis care care for families that are just having some real problems. And we're trying to keep those children out of the children's division system by assisting the mother any way that we can, even if it's just to take her children for a week or two. So I'm needing foster parents who not only are willing to take babies, but who are willing to take children 0 to age 5 years old, because that's what we're licensed to provide foster care. And you do need to understand that the type of foster care that Lutheran does, it's completely voluntary. The mothers are coming to us asking for help. It's very different than the state's care where the children have been removed involuntarily. So the mothers come to us because they've lost their housing, because they're in a shelter, because they need just to go get medicated because of severe depression. There's so many reasons why children can come into care.
So this really is an act and a life of mercy to help out those families that have need, those mothers that have a great need and need to step away from being a mother for a little while and caring for those needs. So these families step in and provide for those needs. So it really is an act of mercy.
You bet. And it's also, we always feel that any time that we can take a child into care, we might be preventing child abuse from happening. And we do have our special workers, which are called WINGS workers. It's for women in need, growing stronger. And those workers are completely assigned to the birth mother and work with her to help her in any way, so that while the children are in foster care, the mother's working through a service plan with her WINGS worker to try to help her get on her feet so that she can be a better mother.
So in many cases, it's all about reuniting the family, getting them on track, and helping them get on track and reuniting them. Are there cases where that doesn't happen and it leads to placement in adoption?
Many of our moms who have a brand new baby, they will make an adoption plan, and we will help them through that. But then, of course, until they go to court, if they decide that they just feel that they can't follow through with an adoption plan and they do decide to parent, we will continue to follow up with them and work with them to be better mothers for these babies. But yes, there's always a great need for foster parents, and there's always many people out there who are always asking for help.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to our foster parents
you
today.
Bet.
You have painted a picture for us of what the need is, and I want to talk with those who have been providing for those needs. I want to hear about your stories, your experiences. What has been most challenging about being a foster parent? What has been most challenging, most difficult? Lori's ready to jump at it. Go for it, Lori.
Well, we were laughing before we came in the studio that we realize how little sleep we all need. Actually, we can get through with very little sleep. But lack of sleep is physically, you know, very difficult at times. And
oh, I know.
You know, you never know what you're going to get. You say yes to taking a baby in your house, and it might be a baby who's on a great schedule and sleeps all night, or it might be a baby who has colic and cries a lot. Or it might be a baby who's having reactions to the formula, and the formula needs to change. It's all really a surprise.
So the not knowing what your schedule is going to be, or lack thereof, that's the challenge.
Yeah, your whole schedule changes as soon as that baby comes in the house, and some of that is really nice, and it's wonderful to, you know, sit in the recliner with a baby cuddled up on your chest and, you know, and just love that baby. And other times you're walking the floor at 3 a.m. and that's really difficult.
Who doesn't love to snuggle and cuddle with a baby when they're sleeping? Now, let's go over to Linda. What has been most challenging for you with serving as foster parent?
Well, I think really I agree with Lori, the sleep sometimes, but the real problem I have with it is giving them back. I mean, I feel that they're my own children. I
sure.
mean, they're given to me to take care of, and and they're there forever long, whether it's 2 days or 7 months or however long, and then you have to give them up. And it's like giving away your own child, and it's very hard.
You put your heart and soul in. You're giving them everything that they need. You're providing for all their needs. That's a legitimate concern and challenge. And I think that's probably why many people are reluctant to become foster parents, is because they fear becoming so attached that...
There's a lot of tears when they leave, but Bev's always there for us. And
I always tell my foster parents, even when we're going through the home study, I say, it's really, really important for you to bond with these babies, but the more you bond with the baby, it's just that much harder to let go.
Sure.
So the loving and letting go is the real theme of foster parents.
It sounds like probably... maybe the hardest part. I don't know. Let's ask Suzanne, what's been the most challenging for you as a foster parent?
We're taught not to judge, and sometimes the foster care does not end in a happy, exuberant, everybody's thrilled. I don't know how to put it. And you have to let go knowing that they're not going to the perfect home.
Not everything's perfect, yeah.
Right, and that can be really, really hard. I agree with the other ladies that it is hard and there are tears, but when you know that it's going to someone who's been waiting and longing and looking forward to having a child of their own, it's payback for all those nights you're sitting up, It just makes you, this is good. All is right. But when it's going back to some place where it's just not the perfect situation, that's really, really hard.
I'm sure it's tough because we don't live in a perfect world. And,
right.
and knowing that, that situation that the biological parents may not, we're none perfect, obviously.
Right.
And so I hear what you're saying. We don't want to judge.
Right.
After you put all that love and that time and that care and support for that child and struggling with.
I do think those placements are returns are the ones where you pray the hardest.
Certainly.
I mean, you would rejoice in the good ones, but when it's going back to what you're not sure of, you can really spend a lot of time praying.
And trust in God's mercy
that
he will provide.
Watch over.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are all challenges. I hear what you're saying, and my heart would be torn, I'm sure, if I were in those situations. But you obviously continue to do this for a reason.
Like the abuse.
Lack of brain cells.
What are the joys? And I'm sure that this will probably go on for hours. we've got a few minutes before our break. What are the joys that have come out of your experiences as foster parents? And you can tell all the stories you want. We've got time today. So we'll go to Lori.
My husband and I were talking about this last night, and I think he put it very well, and I'm probably going to tear up as I say this, but he said, when these babies come into our homes, we are sort of like little stepping stones until they cross the bridge to their next home.
Mm-hmm.
And when they leave our house, sometimes they're smiling more than when they came in, or they're a couple pounds fatter. But we have all, and all the foster families, throughout the country, not just at Lutheran Services here in St. Louis, but every foster home is just a little landing place, a soft landing place, I think, for the babies and the children. And if we're making their lives a little easier for a few days or a few months, or taking care of them until their forever family is identified, or holding them and loving them until their parents are in a better place, then we've done our job. And yeah, it's still difficult when they leave, but that's what we tell ourselves, is that, well, we did our job. We did it as well as we could.
And that... That's the joy that makes you ready for the next time, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think one more thing.
Sure.
There's lots of joys, but seeing the joys that the kids bring to other people. you know, when I bring the babies to a family function or when the neighbors come over and say, we saw that the social worker was there today, her car was there, did you get a new baby? You know, these babies bring smiles and joy, not just to our lives, but to our family and friends that are part of our lives also.
Well, yeah, we saw the crowd around baby boy here this morning when you came into the studio. It's so true. Babies bring joy, and who doesn't want to hold and snuggle or smile at a baby and try to get them to laugh or respond? Suzanne, what's your greatest joy? What are the joys that you've had being a foster parent?
136 of them. I don't really know exactly how to put that. It's just the... Maybe if I start by saying one of the questions we all get all the time is, how can you give them up once they give them to you? And the only thing I can think of to say back to them that makes sense is, I do not take this child thinking that it will stay forever. Mm-hmm. I think of it, like Laurie said, as I'm a bridge. I'm from this spot to the next spot. And people go, oh, no, I just want to give it to it. I could never give it back. I said, but I don't go into it with that thought. I go into it with the thought of, this is just a short time. Mm-hmm. There are so many, and people are just really kind. And like you say, the babies do draw a crowd. and I just like to think that maybe somehow the joy is giving them a voice, the babies, that, you know, you can help if you want to, you know, you could be a foster parent. And people go, I never thought of that. And then, you know, it's just, you're just passing it on, I think, you know, and the joy is holding them, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Holding a baby, there's always joy in that. Mm-hmm. Linda?
You both said it so well, but my one thing is that it's unconditional love. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can't talk back to you. they don't give you trouble. I mean, you know, except
sure.
for a few basic things. It's just that unconditional love. They love you no matter what you look like in the middle of the night. They love you no matter what you do. And that's just the joy of it. Mm-hmm. It's just very simple to me.
Bev, what's the joy in your work?
I have a lot of joys, but I do sometimes go home crying from work also. The joys are seeing whenever a mom, whether it's a mom who's making an adoption plan or a mom who's just trying to get her life stabilized, the real joy is seeing what little bit that we have done that can help her make the next step toward a good future, not only for herself, but for her other children or for her baby. And the joy, honestly, is having wonderful foster parents like this that I can rely on and depend on and know that when I place a baby in their arms, that I really don't have any concerns. I know that they're going to do everything that they can possibly do to give this baby a good start. So it's having foster parents that you can trust. And believe me, my foster parents don't just care for babies. Our foster parents are just wonderful ambassadors for our agency, who often speak at church groups or at different gatherings or when we're having fundraisers or whatever. And they are just wonderful, wonderful ambassadors for us out there in the community. And they're so special to my heart.
Knowing that you have these reliable families to provide for these babies, you probably sleep well at night while they're wide awake with the babies, right?
Well, I do get phone calls sometimes. Yeah. You know, I'll get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning, Linda, saying we're on the way to the emergency room at Children's Hospital because the baby has croup or whatever. So, you know, I don't like the phone to ring during the night, but that's only when it's an unusual emergency. But yes, I do sleep well knowing that the babies are well taken care of.
Very good. Well, we've heard some great stories. We need to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what you need to think about if you're considering becoming a foster parent. So we'll do that when we come back from the break. Maybe we'll take some questions from listeners as well. So if you have a question today, you can email your questions to family@kfuo.org, or you can give us a call, 314-821-0850. We'd be glad to take your questions and continue talking about foster care with Lutheran Family and Children's Services right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Thank you.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration and action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
While President Ronald Reagan designated January 22nd National Sanctity of Human Life Day, it's the anniversary of two U.S. Supreme Court cases, Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, that legalized abortion for any reason throughout pregnancy. Since then, churches throughout America have traditionally observed Sanctity of Life Sunday, which falls on January 19 this year. It's my hope and prayer that your pastor will observe this day. Since Roe, the number of babies aborted equals the entire population of the states of New York and California. Each day, the number of abortion victims equals the number of victims in 9/11. Abortion is a war on America, with 9/11 happening 7 days a week. Please join me in praying that God will end the modern-day Holocaust of abortion.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
We appreciated those of you who phoned in last Friday, so the next broadcast of Law and Gospel will again be an open mic Friday. You can comment on subjects used during the week, such as the ministry of John the Baptizer, the hymn of the week, pro-life efforts, and how many Americans really do not believe in God.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Facebook is a great way to keep up with programming and get a behind-the-scenes glimpse into the broadcast day of KFUO Radio. This is where you'll find the inside scoop on programming and show links, photos, videos, and get details of upcoming events. And it's the place where you can connect with us and other listeners. And it's just so easy. Go to Facebook on your computer or smart device, put KFUO into the search box, select our page, and like us today. And oh yes, it's totally free. So what are you waiting for?
This week on Lamplighter Theater.
You desire a homecoming with your family while my husband faces death alone?
I see a ship.
Wait. What? We shouldn't celebrate yet.
Why?
It could be a pirate ship.
Stop! I would not hesitate to use my rifle against you.
And now you are threatening to kill your own father.
I will do more than threat.
Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation has persuaded the University of Wisconsin Extension in Madison to remove Gideon Bibles from its 137 guest rooms. The atheist group's co-president, Dan Barker, says,
if a hotel, private or government-owned, wants to have a library down by their front desk where somebody who wakes up in the middle of the night desperately in need of a Bible, well, that's fine. It would be an accommodation. But to have them in every single room, assuming that every guest is going to want one, crosses the line.
Barker says placing Gideon Bibles in every room violates separation of church and state, and he doubts that adding other religious texts would solve the problem.
The drawers aren't big enough. I mean, where would you put all of the literature from all of the thousands of competing religious groups? It'd be better to just let hotel guests bring their own Bible or their own religious literature.
The University of Wisconsin Extension operates the Lowell Center Lodging Facility, where a guest found a Bible in the room and complained. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, January 16th, and it's Foster Care Day here in the studio at Worldwide KFUO and Faith and Family. We are talking with three great foster parents and Bev Schaefer from Lutheran Family and Children's Services about choosing foster care as a way to provide for the needs of our neighbors. And the stories have been great so far, and I know we have more stories to share. We have opened the listener line, so we'll go to Cal on the line. Good morning, Cal.
Morning. This is Cal.
Hi, Cal.
Retired Lutheran school principal sitting and listening to your program. And the song that came to my mind, and maybe you are probably familiar with it, Jaroslav Vaida wrote this song, This Child of Ours, This Child of Yours. And I think that was actually, he may have intended it as a baptismal hymn, but the one verse says, this child of ours, this miracle, whom Christ would die for, we may love and train and raise and teach to praise and watch the Spirit mold a life, this child of ours, this child of yours. So in a way, as a foster parent, you know, if you think, even I guess our own children, if we think that they are really God's children, mm-hmm. and we have the opportunity to rear them or to take care or care for them.
Absolutely.
So that would fit in with what these foster parents are doing.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. And that song, This Child of Ours, This Child of Yours, my daughter-in-law sang that standing beside the baptismal font when our grandson was baptized.
A beautiful picture you've painted for us. Thanks, Cal. Thanks for the phone call.
You're welcome.
Cal brings up a good point that these babies are entrusted to us for a time. And that's the picture that I think that you all have painted here as well, that these are entrusted to us to provide for, to care for, but they're not ours alone. We're given that responsibility is what I hear you all saying too, that picture that Cal painted for us with that song. It takes, obviously, certain characteristics and qualities to be a foster parent. What are the things you need to think through before taking that first step to, you know, before making that phone call to Bev, foster parents? What are the questions you need to ask yourself before looking into becoming a foster parent? Well, we'll start over here with Linda.
Well, I think one important thing is you need to look at how it's going to affect your family. Mm-hmm. If you have other children, how they're going to react to it. What ages are they? Just your family dynamics. I mean, I guess it really depends on that. And I do think it does help if you are more of a stay-at-home or work part-time, that you mm-hmm. can be with the children a little bit more because they need that little extra loving care.
Sure, that time to bond.
To bond, mm-hmm. right.
Absolutely. Until we had a baby, until, you know, God provided a child for us, I didn't realize how important, I hear about bonding and I hear about dads bonding with their kids all the time. You read about it in magazines and that sort of thing, but I didn't realize what it really was until we had that child and how important it is for their health and for their development, not just a emotional affective type thing that, you know, that's what creates a family, but it really is important for the child's health, for them to bond with healthy, loving, caring parents. And that also shapes their perspective of who God is too. It's a conversation we had, probably about 6 months ago here on Faith and Family, in not only in their physical development and their emotional and development and cognitive development, but in the spiritual side of things, when a child has a loving parent or parent figure who cares for them, that helps them understand a loving God. And that just made so much more sense to me after having the opportunity to hold that baby and see that. What are the questions you need to ask as before becoming before even thinking about becoming a foster parent? Suzanne?
How much do you like to sleep?
Well, that's the question you ask before you become any kind of parent.
That's true. Well, Linda covered a lot of it. You do have to consider your own family. Like I said, my son was just starting kindergarten, and I thought, well, am I cutting him out, you know, too soon by replacing him with all these other kids? But he did get one perk out of it in, like, second grade. They had a contest on who had the most brothers and sisters. And I didn't know about this, and he came home with a prize. I'm not sure exactly what it was right now. And I said, well, why did you get that? And he said, well, because they asked who had the most brothers and sisters. And being that we are Catholic, and we were at a Catholic school, and we knew the families with the 6 and the 7 and the 8 kids, and I thought, well, how did you win? And he said, well, they counted the foster babies. And at that time, we had only had like 30 or 40 of them. And,
only.
Yeah. And so I thought, well, that's neat. He was just beyond himself. He was so happy about that. But it does affect the kids because you don't want to say, oh, I can't take you here or I can't go to this ball game or that mm-hmm. concert because I've got a baby. You just kind of bundle the baby up mm-hmm. and you go. And we've sat through band concerts. We've sat through school plays and soccer games and dodged the balls and, you know, the whole ball of wax. But it just, you have to be very multitasking is what the new word is, or flexible is what we used to say. And it just kind of comes natural, and you never lack for someone wanting to help you. Mm-hmm. Hold that baby at school, hold that baby at church, hold that baby wherever you're at, you know. It's not that much different than having your own children. In fact, one of the questions I asked when I first called to apply for this was, what do I do? And the woman on the other end said, you treat them like you would your own children. And I said, oh, well, that's easy. So
you've painted a clear picture that many experienced moms, I think, can identify with, experienced parents can mm-hmm. identify with. We are very blessed to have a wonderful babysitter who lives close, lives nearby, and she has several boys, and we have a boy. And so when he goes there for the day, when the boys get home from school or before they go to school, they are thrilled. And I, you know, she shares with us, Angie shares with us how the night before, the boys will ask, you know, is Oscar coming tomorrow? They're so excited. So it's kind of like he's got those siblings, those other family members to you know, to care for him. And they're so excited to spend some time with him. That's a great example. How is this going to affect your family if you have children or pets or however? Pets get suspicious of somebody else coming in the house too.
But they love the food crumbs on the floor.
That's true too. That's true. Lori, what questions do we need to ask ourselves before considering becoming a foster parent?
Well, I think, like was said before, do you have a flexible schedule? Mm-hmm. And do you have support? Do you have the support of the people that are also living in your home or babysitter that you can call? And if there are things going on in your life, is now the best time? Mm-hmm. You know, you really, I think, have to think of what are my obligations and am I at a point where I can put some of those on hold when there's a phone call that a baby needs to come in the house?
So this is stuff you're asking yourself probably all the time.
Yeah, every time the caller ID says Lutheran Family Services.
Yeah, usually I start some of my conversations when I need to talk to the foster parents about some other subject. I usually call and say, it's not about a baby, don't worry.
There's no babies.
Yes, Suzanne.
Could I add one thing
sure.
about the support? Like Bev said, there are 20 licensed foster parents. And that can be one of your biggest supports and that you don't really know about when you're, you know, starting out looking into this, that it's almost, I'd say sisterhood, but the fathers are involved mm-hmm. too.
Sure.
But you always have someone that you can, if something at emergency, you call up that other foster mom and say, I've got to drop off, there's an emergency, and you just... And you know that that baby will be taken care of, that they have the pacifiers, they have the bottles, they have the diapers. You don't mm-hmm. you don't worry about anything coming up because you do have such wonderful support by the foster moms and Bev in the office.
So you have like a secret code or a special handshake or something like that?
Yeah, almost.
It's called a diaper bag.
Right? Yes.
Well, and I'm in my office, I have a changing table and a baby bed so that when a foster mom... you know, needs to go quickly somewhere, the babies can also get dropped off at my office, and we're supplied to care for them there, too.
Wonderful. So you do have, it sounds like you have a lot of support. The questions to ask are, how does this fit into our family right now? Can we make it work? Are we willing to make it work? Are we willing to make this commitment? Are we willing to be flexible? Are we willing to you know, when we take a screaming baby out into to public, are we willing to handle the stares, you know, from others? If you've had, you know, a couple of children or cared for children before, you're used to it. So it's no big deal. But, you know, if you're new to being a parent, then are you ready for that? You know, we're still getting used to that. We're very blessed that our child is relatively quiet most of the time, or at least you can keep him, you know, appeased most of the time. But I know that day is coming when he's going to scream every time we go out. And so we're trying to prepare for that. Bev, who are the ideal foster parents? What is that? Can you show us, you know, give us an idea of who are the ideal foster parents?
Well, you know, every single foster parent has their own personality, their mm-hmm. own style. And I find that as I'm doing their home study, that as I learn more about them, I can't say that there's a special mold for a foster mom, because mm-hmm. they all come with their own specialties. I have some foster moms that, you know, are better dealing with a drug-exposed baby. I have other foster moms who seem like they can just take on the world and take on two or three children at once, but I don't think that there's any one perfect foster parent. I just think that they're all special in their own way with what they come with and what they're able to take on. And when you were talking about when they should say yes or no or to taking a baby, when I do call them, except when I'm absolutely desperate to find a foster home, but when I do call them, I'll say, you know, is there anything going on in your life now? Or do you have a vacation coming up mm-hmm. or a mother-in-law moving in? Or, you know, is there, because we don't really want the baby to cause extra, you know, hassle in their life. So I do say to them, you really can tell me no. Even if I'm begging, you can still tell me no. So.
Linda's shaking her head no.
Tell Bev no.
So all kinds of people could really fit that mold, because it's not one specific type of personality. It's you're looking for people who have flexibility. You're looking for people who obviously want to have a child in their home, who are ready to be loving and caring. It sounds like flexibility. I've heard you all say that several times. Flexible schedules it really seems to be key.
And many, many people truly feel that they've been called to be foster parents. When we became foster parents, it was, once again, it was just a little ad in our church bulletin. And I remember nudging my husband, saying, you know, do you think this would work for us? And it was sort of the same kind of thing. I called on Monday and the worker was there on Tuesday. So sometimes, you know, God really does guide us and direct us. And if any of the listeners out there have just got that little feeling inside of them that this is something that they might be able to do, it might be the spark that God is telling them that, yes, you mm-hmm. could do this.
So they've been listening today. We've been listening today. What's our next step?
Well, I mean, the next step after they make that call.
So they make that call to you?
Right, right.
Very good.
And then what we do is we send out it's like a little handbook that pretty much just tells the whole story of our program and what type of fostering they would be doing and what we expect of them. And there's an application. And then they do have to have a full home study done. And when people hear the word home study, they go, well, what does that mean? You're going to come to my house and that's it? A home study involves a lot. All of our foster parents have to have criminal record checks. They have to have doctors who say that they're physically healthy to care for a child. They have to have 6 references that we got from friends, neighbors, relatives, their pastor or their priest or whatever. We do interviews with them and talk to them a little bit about, okay, you're not going to know what this is going to feel like until you get your first baby and you have to give up that first baby. And I can try to tell you in words what it's going to feel like, mm-hmm. but it's not until they experience sure. that letting go that it's the first time. But once they've completed the full home study, which normally takes about 90 days because there's a lot of things to get done, but once they complete the full home study, they are then licensed by the state and they can really do foster care for a licensed child placing agency. So if they can get through the home study, then it's all downhill from there.
For those of you who've gone through the process, I know it's been a while probably for most of you. What was it like going through that process? Were there questions, hiccups along the way as you were going through that process? Suzanne? Yeah.
I had quite a few. Because I was living within the city limits of St. Louis, the packet sent to me at that time did not include certain papers because it was a county packet. And as I sat there waiting for my next instructions, I thought, well, maybe they don't like me. Maybe they don't want me, you know. And then so I finally called and she said, well, you didn't send back this certain paper. I said, well, I didn't get it. She goes, oh, yeah, you're in the city. Okay, never mind. You know, but I wanted to bring up one thing that Bev told me, but I don't want to get it wrong. When you talk about who could be foster parents, she brought up the fact that Joseph and Mary, Joseph was an adoptive or a foster parent in a way. Mm-hmm. So it's a very old profession, a very old calling, and and you can do it. You know, anybody, I think, can do it. But if you don't think you can, you know, maybe if you just talk to somebody. I know when I started, they gave me three foster moms at the time. It's, call these people and talk to them. Let them tell you what it's like to get a baby and then let go of a baby and what you have to do. I mean, there are papers to fill out every month you have a baby, but it's not that bad, you know? So you take pictures of them, you talk with other people. If you have a problem, they have doctors that will give services at reduced rates and all that stuff. So we're never at a loss for anything, you know? I just think I like the story that Bev told about Mary and Joseph.
You know? Sure, sure. That Joseph was, yeah, he served as Jesus' earthly father. And it is a vocation that, that God has certainly given to care for the needs of others, especially these little babies. Lori?
Well, we're talking a lot about the babies, and that's, you know, rightly so. But sometimes when I'm at home and holding those babies, I find myself praying more for the mother. And what she must be going through and what sort of life and lifestyle she must have had. And sometimes we know a little bit and sometimes we don't. And it doesn't make our job any different. Most of the time I'm reassured that the baby is going to a home that they have longed for and wanted a baby for some time. Or that if the baby's being returned to the mother, that there are social workers and people who are going to be helping, you know, with resources for the mother. You know, but speaking about Joseph, and I often find that I'm not just taking care of the baby, but I'm also helping the mother and maybe the father if the father's involved. But I find that sometimes in the wee hours of the morning a lot, I'm praying for the mother. And one time I was praying for a young mother who I didn't know much about, of course, other than, you know, the paper said that the mother was, you know, 20 or 25. And Bev told me that things were a little bit delayed because she hadn't been returning calls or showing up for appointments. And I just prayed that that mother would have the support that she needed to get that baby to the next, you know, to the next step of their life. And a couple days later, Bev called and said, well, how's it going? Are you getting sleep? How's the baby? And the mother came in for an appointment and she's returning our calls and everything is going as it should. And I thought, well, that's part of the job, too, is not just changing diapers and feeding babies and walking the floor with them. But I think that's also a large component of it is just praying for where they came from.
Mm-hmm. For the family where they came from. Mm-hmm. That's important, too. When you care for a baby, you're not just caring for the baby. You're not just changing diapers.
Right.
Linda, well, the process of becoming a foster parent, that process, how did that go for you? Were there questions, hiccups?
The biggest hiccup was that actually Bev did my home study. And but what had happened was there was a woman in charge at Lutheran, and my paperwork got turned in but got shuffled to the bottom of a pile and kept put on the bottom of the pile. I wanted a baby. I didn't want to wait anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was like 7, 8 months, 9 months till I got my license. It took a long time. Wow. But I finally got it in June, whatever year it was. And Bev called up and says, we've got your license. We've got a baby. I go, yay. But that was just the longest, that it took so long to
sure. Right. A license and a baby came at the same time, right?
Same time. Right. And it normally doesn't take that long, but I had just taken the job over, and when I moved into the position, no one had told me that there was an application waiting, you
sure.
know, and so, and it wasn't until the whole desk was organized that here I find this application, and I call Linda and I go, are you still interested in being a foster parent? She goes, of course I am.
How, for all of you foster moms, how important was it to have someone like Bev as your advocate, as your, oh. it, through that process? How important would it have changed whether or not you became a foster parent?
Yes. Yes.
It wouldn't have changed if I had become a foster parent, but it would have changed that I've been doing it this long. Mm-hmm. If Bev had left, yeah, I would true. Not be there. Bev is, there's nobody like Bev. There's nobody as generous, mm-hmm. nobody as caring, and her husband's the same way.
Bev's seen me in my pajamas.
Bev's seen me worse.
So
she's the best.
Why, to our listeners, for our listeners today, why consider becoming a foster parent?
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah. There's a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. The love of the babies, helping somebody in a time of need, working with Bev, working with Lutheran Family and Children's Services. Mm-hmm. It's a great place. I mean, they just do more than help babies. I mean, they help the families if they go back to their birth parents or birth family. Mm-hmm. They help them, you know, if they need help with housing or if someone's ill or whatever. They don't just say, here you go, you're done. They just are there to help everyone for everything. They do seasons of sharing, which has nothing really to do with foster care. I mean, it's just helping children and families to get things they need for the holidays.
That would be baby boy.
Yes, that was right.
Right. And, you know, my heart is in child welfare, but listeners should know that Lutheran is a full service agency. And since we are connected with the United Way, if someone calls in that needs help, if we're not able to help them, we are connected to the United Way, and our wonderful intake worker, Jean, can get people directed to whatever help they need.
So you provide a lot of resources or connections to other resources.
Right, right.
Very good. And for the listener today who's on the other side, who's that mom that's struggling, or mom-to-be who's struggling, they can get connected with you as well.
Right.
For that support and those resources and be one of those families that benefits from these families here.
Right, 24 hours a day. They can call anytime, and we'll get a worker out there to talk with them within 24 hours.
Well, very good. What's the number for folks to call to get in touch with you?
Well, my direct number is 754-2749, and that comes right to my desk.
So that's 314?
314, right. And our number at Lutheran, our general number is 787-5100.
So 314-787-5100. Mm-hmm. Your voicemail will be full when you get back to the office today.
That's a good thing.
Goodness. Well, final thoughts on for today. We've got about a minute and a half left before we wrap up. Your final word to all those parents who may be thinking, anything that you want to share in the last minute before we go?
Well, I think as hard as it is to say goodbye to the babies, there's nothing more rewarding than putting a baby in their new mother or father's arms for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never lose that. That'll always be just a special moment, you know, between us and the new parents.
Have you got to meet the new parents?
Yes.
That process?
Yes, and Lutheran Services has a lovely entrustment ceremony where they recognize the sacrifice and the choices that the birth mother has made, and the care of the foster parents, and the love of the adoptive parents. And my husband and I have participated in that a few times, and it's a wonderful ceremony and a nice ending for the foster families and a nice beginning for the adoptive families.
And not a dry eye in the room, I'm sure.
Right.
Wow. Well, I have certainly been moved by your stories, and I've learned a lot today as well about the foster care process through Lutheran Family and Children's Services, and it certainly made me think about that. It gives me joy to and helps me give thanks for the baby that we have in our life right now at home, but for all the people like you that are working to care for those babies who need it so desperately. So thank you for what you do for those families and caring for not just the babies, but for their birth families and all that you do. Yes, Suzanne?
One last thing. I don't know the exact wording, but if you want a reason to do it, think of the scripture, what you do for the least of them, you do for me.
Very true. Jesus has given us to care for them in body and soul. Well, thank you to all of our guests for being here today. I really appreciate you spending some time with us here in the studio. And Bev, thanks for being our guest from Lutheran Family and Children's Services today.
My pleasure.
Linda.
Thank you.
Suzanne.
Thank you.
Lori.
Thank you.
Good to have you. And baby boy. Well, take care. And coming up next on Worldwide KFUO, Moments of Assurance. Stick around.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.